I don't know if you know the definition of that word justified, but it's salvation. It's the legal declaration of God the Father that they've been forgiven, justified. It's the guarantee you're on your way to heaven, justified. We call it salvation. God says you've been justified. Everything's forgiven. Debt's paid. Take just a minute, if you would, to have your Bibles and turn. We're going to look this morning at Romans chapter 4. We're going to look at quick things about Abraham that he learned to trust the Lord with. And I want all of us in this room today, this is family month. All the messages, Sunday night, Sunday morning, will be on the home. Come back tonight. 10 things you can do to improve your marriage. I encourage you to come back tonight. I want to encourage you. Do you realize that churches are built with godly homes? Maybe something difficult's happened in your life and you're a single parent. It could be a myriad of things. It could be death. It could be whatever. All I'm trying to say to you is that God has a plan for everybody in this room. No matter the past, every page of tomorrow is pure white. It's only what you put on it. If you're a teenager, all the days in the future are pure. Pure white. If you're an adult, 30 years old, you've had a difficult past, every day of tomorrow is pure white. If you're 70 years old, Pastor, you don't know what happened in my life. I know that tomorrow's page is white. And only what you put on it will be there. And so I want to take just a moment this morning to get everybody in this room to realize that you're part of a family. Many times we're part of a organic family of a mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. But this morning I just want you to understand there's got to be somebody like Abraham in every family. Someone that people look up to. God has every man in this room that's a husband. His plan for you is to be Abraham. And I want you to see these four things. Number one, he trusted him for his salvation. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 4. Now, we're going to go back to Genesis at the very beginning, but you'll notice Romans 4. It's a very clear passage. Verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, returning to the flesh, hath found? In other words, how did he get to heaven? This is some 1,000 years, 3,000 or 4,000 years after Abraham was born and died. Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified, there is that word, I'm justified. It's the legal definition to God the Father that you're on the way to heaven. We look up and we say, I've been saved. He looks down and says, you've been justified. In the court of heaven, your debt's paid. You're on your way to heaven. You've been tried, convicted, and forgiven because of Jesus Christ. And so everybody has been tried and not necessarily forgiven. That's the reason everybody's not saved. Now, the ultimate trial will happen at the great white throne judgment if you're not saved. But the Lord has already declared us justified the day you get saved in this life. And so you'll notice Abraham had the same issue we did. How do I get to heaven? I want to be there. I want my family to go to heaven. I want them to know the Lord. And folks, today, most of us in this room have people in our family that are not saved. How many of you in this room got somebody in your family not saved? You're burdened for them. Raise your hand all over the building. Raise them all over. Look, all over the place. Don't give up. You may be the one that God is counting on you to help make the difference. And so you'll notice here's Abraham. He says, look, how do I get to heaven? Well, he tells us in retrospect, in the book of Romans, notice verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, if he were declared righteous, able to go to heaven, pure and clean by his good works, well, notice what he says, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He could say, well, I made it by this and I made it by that. And he said, but nobody can do that. And God, certainly you can't look at it and say, Lord, I did this and I did that and I deserve to go to heaven. Nobody. That's reading it says here, he hath whereof to glory. Oh, he's got a good testimony. He's done some good things. But he says he can't glory before God because God didn't justify one man because of his works. Take your Bible quickly and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. It's just a few books back. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2. And notice, if you would, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved. Now look, save is looking up, justified is looking down. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So salvation is a gift of God. Justification is a gift of God. Not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. You can bet your bottom dollar, if you were a betting person, which you ought not to be, but if you could, that if Brandon Lawrence got to heaven by something he did, and Scott got saved by something he did, and I got to heaven by something I did, we'd sit down in heaven together. How'd you make it? How'd you make it? How'd you make it? And we'd brag to each other about what we did. And God said, that'll never happen. Because there's nothing you can do to earn salvation from your point of view, justification from my point of view. You want to know why? Just think a little bit. Why is it that no one can be justified by their own works? Because Jesus died to pay your debt of sin. And anything you and I were to do would be compared to Jesus' death. What could compare to that? What would be of value enough to compare to the death of the Son of God for you? Nothing. And so that is why justification is the gift of God paid for by His Son. So if you're here this morning, the first thing that needs to happen is you need to accept His gift. Let Him justify you in heaven. And you can look up and say, I've been saved by the power of Jesus Christ, forgiven me of my sin. So you can see, let me read to you again, Romans. Now flip back over to Romans chapter 4. You can see it's not by works. Now you might say, what are works? Well, if you gave money, it would be works. If you sang a special like Benita did, it would be a work. If you took the offering, it'd be a work. If you did the sound system. And I want to thank you guys in the sound system. They've gotten redeemed. There's been revival back there. Do you know why? There's no 4-foot clock on those two monitors back there. They're blank. You know what that means? I can preach as long as I want. That's great. Just let it rip. No clock. There's a little bitty clock back there. I can still see it. I don't know what's happened, but I'm grateful there's no clock. Back there just counting off the seconds, and I'm rushing. But you'll notice here, anything, if they manage that and they took care of the sound, or maybe the guy that puts together the baptistry, that would be Brother Vince or Brother Nick in the back, does all the ushers. You know what? They could have something to brag about. But he said, nobody can do anything. Read Romans chapter 4, verse number 3. Anytime somebody says to you, well, I've done this and I've done that, you say, what does the Bible say? Now, where did I get that from? I'm very smart. I can read. Look in verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? How do you become justified in God's sight? How do you become saved in our sight? What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Pleased him for what? Now look here. Abraham and everybody in the Old Testament before Jesus died believed that one day God would make a perfect lamb, a sacrifice that would wash away the sin of the world, including their sin. And Abraham said, I believe you, Lord, you're going to do that. And so I'll trust you to take me to heaven on that lamb that Jesus hadn't even been born nor died yet. In that case. But Abraham said, Lord, I'll trust you. And it was counted to him for righteousness, his faith. And now here we are. We look back to the cross and we say, I know that he died, but how many of you saw Jesus? How many of you saw Jesus die? So it's by faith. So it doesn't matter if it's from the back looking forward, if it's from the front looking back. We all have to put our faith and the trust that Jesus died for us and that his payment was enough to wash away our sin. And God will justify us and we can be saved on our way to heaven. Somebody in your family has got to provide that example. And somebody in your family has got to believe that they can be saved and that everybody in their family can be saved. And you're going to notice that one of the great verses of Scripture we're going to look at this morning, Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteousness, and God blessed his whole family because God said, Abraham said, Lord, I trust you for my whole family. Folks, today God wants to save everybody in this world. One of the reasons I love missions so much is because I just picture in my mind, if I were one of those people in the Amazon River Basin and I'd never heard the gospel of Christ, I'd never heard that Jesus died for me, and no one came to tell me, and I died and went to hell. The Lord said, I'm still guilty. Why? Because you put the sun and the moon and the stars there. But I'm not smart enough to say who put that sun, moon, and stars there and pray about it. But God says all man is responsible for himself. Who put the sun, the moon, and the stars there? If you'll ask me, I'll send you an answer. I'm just so thankful God sent someone, a preacher, to tell me of the gospel. I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be able to go to church and hear the gospel and see it in Scripture and trust Christ as Savior. And that's what I want for everybody else in the world, to have a place to go, whether it's in China. I don't know if you saw this morning, one of our missionaries sent me a note of his first day of his new church. He's been learning the language. He's been doing there for 6 years. And he opened the doors of his church quietly. And they had an evangelist, an American evangelist that speaks Japanese, that speaks Chinese, came and preached for them in their church. He said it was wonderful. And three said, I want to be baptized. And they had a pool of water, a little small swimming pool he'd packed up and taken over. And they baptized three of them that Sunday morning, this morning. Wow. That's what missions is about. If you were born in China, wouldn't you want that? If you were born in the Amazon, wouldn't you want Brother Hernandez or Brother Bruner to come and tell you about Jesus Christ? That's why missions are so important. We just can't take it all and soak it all up for ourselves. You know why America is so wonderful? It's because God has blessed America, because the gospel came here and it became an American Christian nation through the Puritans and the Pilgrims. They knew the Lord and they wanted to get the gospel out. That's the reason they came here, was the worship the Lord through the Scriptures on their own. And so God has said, I'm going to bless that nation, and he has. But it's our responsibility to get the gospel around the world. And I notice here, Abraham just believed the Lord that his story, God's word, he would send a lamb. Now you're going to see a little bit later that in the Old Testament, they would offer a lamb every so often as a reminder that God promised. Have you received the Lamb of Christ as your Savior? Abraham believed, and he was granted justification. Number two, notice if you would, take your Bible and turn back to Genesis. Now, this is one that everybody in this room, he trusted God for his wealth. Notice Genesis chapter 12. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. It's very clear in Scripture. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The Lord said, look, I want you to move to a place that I will show you. Now this takes a great deal of faith and trust in the Lord. I want you to go to a place, and notice what he says. Verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because Jesus Christ was the descendant of Abraham. So all the people of the world have been blessed. But he trusted him for his own wealth. You'll notice, if you would, he wouldn't take a dime. He fought the battle when Lot was taken captive. by four different kings. He said, I'm going to go fight and take them back. So he takes his own group of men that worked for him and went and fought and defeated those four kings and got Lot back. And the king, one of the kings was with him, one of the four kings, king of Sodom, king of Gomorrah. He says, I want you to take all the possessions that you've gotten. He said, I won't take a dime. The Lord provides for me. Today, who do you trust for your wealth? Oh, well, I work for Northrop Grumman. Well, you can't trust them. They're not 1,000 years old. Not even 500 years old. Yeah, but it's a big company. I know. But God is the one that allows all of us to be blessed. You have to learn to trust the Lord for your wealth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord said, and everybody in this room, every man in this room, every father in this room has got to learn to trust somebody for your possessions and for your wealth. When you need a car, when you need a house, when you need a job, you've got to trust somebody. So, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And here we have Abraham did that. You'll notice, if you would, look over in chapter 13. Notice, if you would, chapter 13 in verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. So you know what happened? Sometime between chapter 12 and chapter 13, verse number 6, God had blessed him, Abraham, to the point where he couldn't even live with his nephew in the same area because there wasn't enough room for the cattle and the animals. They were filthy rich. Why? I'm going to trust the Lord. He left his homeland with nothing. But I'm going to trust the Lord. Everybody in this room, yes, we work hard. Yes, we get educated. Yes, we prepare. But we trust the Lord. And young people, you can learn. You can go to college, whatever you want to. I've met some PhDs that, matter of fact, I've met some that were very poor. You know why? Because they trusted their brain to take care of them and they couldn't do it. Did you know what? This brain is a massive computer that God put together for everybody in this room. He controls it. Don't take God for granted. Trust him. He can bless your mind. How many of you, have you gotten a little older, you've noticed it's a little more difficult to remember something? Let me see. I've noticed, okay? How many of you a little younger, you realize it's a little more difficult for you to remember something when your teacher's trying to cram this half the book in your mind and you can't get it all in? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? See, a lot of little young people here. All right? Same thing. You see, God's only given us so big of a computer. But what you do is you learn to say, Lord, I'll do my part. You work to add things to that computer and you trust the Lord that it always works. Because sometimes it doesn't. You and I have to learn to trust the Lord for our memory. We have to learn to trust the Lord for our wealth. Everybody in this room, you got to trust somebody. You can't trust your employer. You can't trust the doctor. Oh, they all do their best, but God never fails. Somebody in the family's got to say, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and you become the example. And people have hope. That's what that's what Pat Arnold was in many ways to a lot of her family. She was the patriarch of the family in many ways. There's got to be somebody that stands up. I was telling the folks in Sunday school this morning, Dr. Jim Lyons passed away 2 weeks ago. He was my mentor. I watched him as he was a young man. And I say a young man, I'm a teenage boy, and he's in his 30s, and I watched him as he grew in the Lord, and he was preached, he was an evangelist, and so he was everything, had a great marriage, and two godly young daughters, both married to preachers and spiritual men, and I began to think, Lord, I want that, and Dr. Lyons became that for me, and Dr. Lyons passed away at 95. Well, 94 and 2 weeks short of 95. And I said, Lord, I'd like to be able to. And he was still sharp as a tack. And I said, Lord, what did he do? Well, he ran on the treadmill. He exercised. He took vitamins, and he ate right. And I said, Lord, now I think eating right is only two Snickers a day and three Reese's Pieces. But I'm trying to cut all that back and trying to get it back right. And so I eat oatmeal. You know what? I put in my oatmeal, three Snickers, two Reese's Pieces. I'm trying to get it right. No, really, but I love peanut butter and I love honey, so I put that in my oatmeal, or my wife does. It's a great blessing. And so I'm learning, this is good for you. This is good for you. So, Lord, I'm going to trust you for my wealth. I'm going to trust you for my health, but I'm going to do my part. Everybody here's got to do your part, but you got to trust somebody. Now, I'm going to get around to it in a minute, because sometimes this old body breaks down and you have to trust God. He's got a reason. I'm going to tell you that in a minute. You trust the Lord for your wealth. You trust the Lord for your justification. You trust the Lord for your health, but you trust the Lord for your family. Now, I want you to notice kind of an amazing thought here, but take your Bible. This is a promise for a family. Notice with me, if you would, chapter 15, if you would. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. For these things, this is Genesis 15:1. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. Now, we don't get visions, but we got a copy of the scriptures. And the Lord says, all of to you and I am your shield, and I will be your protection, and I'll be your blessing, and I'll be your health, and I'll be your wealth, if you'll just trust me. Well, notice in verse number 4, and Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? Lord, you said I'm going to be a great nation in chapter 12, and I got no son, no daughter. My wife is barren. Seeing I go childless. Seeing I go, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. I've even got a foreigner in charge of all my property. I can't leave it to him. Verse 3, and Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Who's he trusting for his family, for his children? The Lord. And verse number 4, And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. Eliezer is not going to be your heir. Ishmael is not going to be your heir. But he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And notice, if you would, and he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto me, So shall thy seed be. Okay, Abraham, I know you have no child, but are you trusting me? Yes. Now, I want you to understand, we learn to trust the Lord for our family. We learn to trust the Lord that we're going to have one if that's what he wants us to do. Remember, we're servants. We're in God's hands. And everybody in this room, somebody in your family has got to show the family that I'm the servant of the Lord and I'm going to trust him. And what that means is that everybody in this room can trust him also. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This is the day that Abraham got saved. Yeah, it's that's Romans chapter 4. Lord, I believe you. I believe you can do anything. And notice what the next one is. Verse 7, and he said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And so he gives him an idea. He said, I'm going to show you how to do it. Make an offering. He does. And he convinces him that he's going to be, that this land is going to be his, that he's going to have children. Well, then you'll notice, look over to chapter 18, if you would. Lord, this is a great day. This is a great day of trust and confidence. And his wife fails. And I'm not sure Abraham's not pretty close to failing also. Verse number 1, this is Genesis 18:1. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre and sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he sat in the tent during the heat of the day, lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Now understand, this is the theophany. Theophany is theos, is God. Phani is appearance. And so it's an appearance of God. These three men, one of them is God. They come and they make a statement. After each dinner with them, notice if you would, verse number 10. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life in 9 months. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it, and the tent door was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Now, skip down, verse number 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also, shall I have the pleasure of being a mom? In verse number 13, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, what shall I of a certainty bear? Shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? In verse 14, a great verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? 9 months later, his son was born. Notice verse 18 and see why. Verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. You see, he was the example. Every man in this room, every adult man that's married, every single guy, we're an example to somebody watching. But if you have a family and you're married today, then you're the example. And God is looking to you to lead your family right by trusting the Lord as Savior, by being justified, trusting the Lord for your wealth, learning to pray about each and everything that you buy, purchase, or a job you take. Lord, I'm going to trust you, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going to trust you to provide. I'm going to trust you for my health, Lord. I'm going to take good care of myself, but I'm going to trust you, Lord. I can't add a day to my life. I'm going to trust you. You take care of me. And Lord, I'm going to trust you for my family. Now watch this. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. He said, they'll be people of justice. They'll be fair to others and judgment. They'll be good to people. Notice that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You see, somebody's got to do right so God can bless your family. You read the first four words, I know him. God knows every man in this room. He knows if you're doing what's right. He knows if you're a man. Notice, if you would, and he will command his children and his household after him that they may keep the way of the Lord. Some of you guys, some of us, all of us in this room ought to say, I'm going to keep the way of the Lord. And that doesn't stop when you're 30 or 40 or 60 or 80. Dr. Lyons was 95, and when he died, all of his pallbearers were his sons and sons-in-laws and grandsons, almost all of them preachers. Because they saw something in him, a trust in God that they said, I want that. We need some men in this room that will trust the Lord for everything in your life and say, Lord, I'll follow you, I'll trust you. And your wife can say, I want to be like my husband. Notice, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. That was Abraham. He was a godly man. And we need some of that. Young men, you promised the Lord and said, Lord, I want to be like Abraham. I'll trust you for my salvation. And Lord, I trust you for my family that if I do right, you'll help them follow me. But you got to change into his image. You got to love him more than anything in this world. Where are the men like that? Where are the Abrahams that God can bless? And you're never too old. Did you know the last time I talked to Dr. Jim Lyons was 2 months ago? I asked him before I came to this church, should I come to this church? I asked him, Brother Jim, do you think I ought to marry this girl, Janet? I told him all about her. We prayed about it together. There's never a time when all of us in this room don't need somebody to say, would you pray with me? I know you've chosen to do what's right. I want to be like you. Would you give me some good advice, some good direction? Where are the Jim Lyonses? Where are the Abrahams? God wants to use everybody in this room. There's no one here God does not want to use. But your family needs you, man, woman, boy, or girl. First, you got to trust him as Savior. Trust him for your health, for your wealth, for the promises that you know he's made to you. He'll bless you. But somebody's got to be just. Somebody's got to do what's right. Somebody's got to be honest and say, I'm going to do what's right. Follow me. Let's serve the Lord together. Somebody's got to do that. We were down in Brazil. And I'm just going to share with you my heart about a little bit about missions just real quickly. Jonathan Hernandez is a missionary. I met him almost 15 years ago on a trip. And he was a very likable young man, very sweet and godly young lady. He had no children. He said, God's called me to the Amazon River Basin to tell people of Christ. Well, he was the one that was working up at the top of his church, and his ladder broke. It wasn't even his fault. The ladder broke, and he fell 32 feet. He put his head on his hand like this when I hit the concrete. He said, everything just broke. They got me to the hospital, the doctor, and I knew people were praying for me, and we heard about it. I don't know if you remember, we prayed for him as a church. I've been praying for him. Lord, bless Jonathan. I pray that you give him strength, heal him back up. Lord, you don't have enough missionaries. Don't lose one. Lord, you know, and I'm praying about this, and God has a plan. Remember, everyone in this room is a servant if you've trusted Christ. And I'm thinking, Lord, why would you let a Jonathan almost get killed? Why would you allow him to be crippled? Probably the rest of his life, couldn't move his arm above his shoulder early. Ribs broken, arms broken, all this is broken where it landed. The doctor, he goes to the doctor on the day of surgery. They finally got him to the hospital. The doctor says, okay, look at it. Says, well, I need to fix this, put a rod here and do this and do that. And he says, I just want you to know, doc, people around the world praying for you. I don't need that. I don't even believe in God. I'll just fix you up. He said, nonetheless, the Lord's going to guide your hands. Yeah, whatever. A year later, he goes back to the doctor. The doctor puts up on the screen his x-rays. I don't understand it. He said, what is it, doc? He said, all those bones are broken. There's no lines. Jonathan told me. He said, Pastor, he looked at my x-ray and he said, I've never seen anything like that before. He said, anybody looked at this x-ray and says, who was the idiot that put that rod in your arm and your and all that stuff? Why? Nothing's broken. Jonathan said, I told you that God was going to guide you. Tell me about your God. And Jonathan led him to Christ. Now, when Jonathan goes back to the doctor for checkups, and I watch Jonathan do this, he said, Pastor, the doctor looked at me and said, 86% of everybody that falls from 32 feet on anything dies. Who is this, your God? And nobody walks out of here. And I've never seen all the lines gone. Who is your God? He tells him of Christ. He trusts the Lord. So the next time he goes into the doctor's office, there's a buzz about the doctor's office. And the doctor comes out and says, this is the guy. His God is the one. And they all trusted Christ as Savior. He led them to Christ. And now he's at a church in, I forget the name of the town, and he's bringing people to tell about this great God that healed Jonathan. Now let me ask you this question. Did God make a mistake when Dave Pittman thought he fell 32 feet? Why, Lord? God makes no mistakes. He has a plan for everybody in this room. The only question is, are you like Abraham? I'll trust you. There's got to be some Abrahams. There's got to be some Dr. Lyonses. There's got to be some Jonathan Hernandez. Or the world is going to miss heaven. Today, let's purpose in our heart to build our families around this great God that asked the question, is anything too hard for me? Don't you want to tell your children there's nothing too hard for our God? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. When you get old, you want to be able to say, son, I was right. There's nothing too hard for God. When you're young, you want to be able to say, I was right, son. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. We're going to have a word of prayer. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I haven't trusted you enough. Lord, there's some issues in my life I haven't trusted you with. I'm decided I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to make up my mind, Lord. Here I am. I'll trust you for my wealth. Lord, I'll trust you for my health. Lord, I'll trust you for my justification, my salvation, whichever way you're looking at it from. Lord, I'll trust you for your promises. You've made some promises to me. Lord, I'll trust you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Maybe you need to come and join our church this morning. Maybe I'm thinking about it and praying about it, but you're not sure. Will you come do the will of God this morning? Maybe you're here today and you've been thinking about, I need to be saved, but I'm not sure I understand it all. You come, we'll share the gospel with you. You can get it settled this morning. Maybe you need to be baptized. You come, we'll help you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. And when we do, I encourage you to come to this altar. Say, Lord, I need you today. I need the God of Jonathan Hernandez. I need the God of Abraham. I need the God, Lord, I need the God of Jim Lyons. I need the God that can do anything, that asks the question, is anything too hard for me? And remember, when you begin to doubt him, Lord, why did Jonathan fall 32 feet when it could have been somebody else not doing right? God says, I have a plan. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. I pray that you do what only you can do. Save people that are not sure of heaven. Give them the courage to trust you. Help them forget the world. In your name we pray. Amen.